Becker on Darren, Donick, and Chase, presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. We're live here at First Horizon Park, their final homestand of the year. They've got some great specials on this homestand. $2 12-ounce Pepsi fountain sodas, $2 hot dogs this weekend. They've got $5 and $6 canned and draft beer specials, $3 mini golf over the weekend. And a lot more. They're plus going to have some silent auctions, some great silent auction items to benefit the Nashville Sounds Foundation, including autographs from Kristen Yelich, Ricky Henderson, Roger Clemens, and others. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. In just a moment, we will head up to Indianapolis, and we'll learn a little bit more about the opponent of the Colts. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe alongside. I think the last time the Titans beat the Colts here, I think Jim Harbaugh was maybe the quarterback for Indy, maybe?
Well, maybe. There was the famed... What was the guy's name? His last name was Painter. What was
Curtis.
His name?
Curtis Painter. Curtis Painter.
That was the Peyton when Peyton was out.
Yeah, and the Colts still managed to beat the Titans later in the season. That was a brutal Colts team. That was post Manning, pre Luck, and the Titans managed a split. So yes, it hasn't really gone well here. They did get a huge win last year in Indy.
Not here though. Not here.
In Indy, yeah.
No, because that was the clunker on Thursday night here, right?
In fact, the last 2 years.
They lost to Brissett 2 years ago, right? Wasn't it Brissett?
Yeah. Well, that was the Cairo. Not Cairo Santos. Maybe it was Cairo Santos.
No, that was the Pyro. The Pyro problem.
Yes. I was fire,
fire on the field.
Fire on the field.
Fire on the field.
But it was there was the Colts game and the Bills game where they just couldn't make a field goal. And if they had, it would have helped a lot.
Now, the last I think
you could argue they would have won both games.
I think we've got Greg Straw on the line with us, part of the Colts Radio Network. Greg, we were just reminiscing. I think Jim Harbaugh was the last quarterback or under center.
Maybe it was Jack Trudeau.
Maybe. Trudeau. We're trying to figure out the last quarterback that the Titans beat here that was under center for the Colts. We're going back a ways. That's probably a little off, but that's what it feels like. How you doing?
Well, I can say that the first time the Colts would have played in Nashville would have been – did they actually – I know the joke you're making. Obviously, I get that. But I'm trying to think if the Colts actually played in Nashville before the AFC South formed in 2002. Seriously.
Turning
off the top of my head, I don't remember that for some reason.
I think you're right.
You may be right on that. Yeah.
So
yeah.
The obvious first Titans-Colts memory is from before – they were division rivals, and that would be the number of Titans fans there were in the RCA Dome in the 1999 wild card game or the playoffs. Trust me, that memory is seared into all of our minds in Indianapolis.
I'll
Eddie
tell you
George
what.
Looking at the closest defender on the Jumbotron as he's hitting the end zone.
Greg, we had Bill Polian on our show. We had a couple of days of honoring Floyd Reese, who passed away, and he was giving his thoughts. And that's the first thing he brought up was that game that particular point.
And the Titans fans were in the dome.
He put it nicely. He said, we had a foul up in the ticket office.
I would hope that 22 years of perspective for Bill have allowed him to give perspective and not just a series of four-letter words about the way that they said it.
He was clearly not over it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think there was a new rule implemented. Nobody from the state of Tennessee was allowed to buy a Colts ticket moving forward. I'm pretty sure of that. Greg, well, I mean, 0-2, but I mean, it's not like, Indy has been able to tiptoe through the tulips. I mean, they had a brutal schedule, and it's not getting any easier. Their first five games are just ridiculous, and now, you know, the guy that they traded for, the guy that they thought after Phillip Rivers had retired is going to be the next quarterback up for the Colts is hurt. I mean, what do you think? I know you're not the team doctor, but, I mean, that looked pretty bad on Sunday against the Rams. Do you think Wentz is going to give it a go, or do you think he's in real doubt of playing here?
I think he will make every effort he can to play. I'm not sure how you can when you sprain both ankles and you're asked to play 7 days later. When you injure one ankle during the game and then you suffer another worse ankle injury to the other one later in the contest. I just don't see how that's possible. So I am literally on my way to the Colts complex as we speak. We'll talk to Carson coming up today. We'll hear from Frank Reich. Literally, I'll hear from those guys within the next 45 to 50 minutes, and we'll have a better idea. Frank Reich will play that close to the vest. They won't announce until Friday, if even then, whether it's going to be Eason or Wentz that gives it a go. I can tell you this, I've been impressed with Wentz, you know, with the 0-2 start. He's not been the issue for this football team. It's the amount of pressure that he's been dealing with from one of the most well-paid and well-thought-of offensive lines in the National Football League. That's been the problem for this football team in the first couple of weeks, again, against two very good football teams to start the season.
We were talking about it going down memory lane. In all seriousness, I think the Titans have lost to Curtis Painter. I think the Titans have lost to Jacoby Brissett. I mean, there have been backup quarterbacks for the Colts still come in here and get the win, or at least beat the Titans in Indy or here. But I'll tell you what, Eason doesn't. I mean, that was shaky. I mean, I don't know why on earth you would be throwing a Jalen Ramsey on Sunday, but I mean, what is the confidence level? Do they have any idea what they truly have if he has to play the entire game in Jacob Eason?
I'm not sure they know what they have. I do think it's fair to say he would be better than what you saw at the end of the game. I do think that's a remarkably difficult situation for your first live action in the National Football League to come on the two-minute drill against the Rams defense.
Yeah.
So I understand. I get it. Having been out at training camp every day, when Carson got hurt in on day number two, then it became Eason with the ones pretty much for the remainder of camp. Sam Ellinger for a little while got some reps with the ones, but primarily it was Jacob Eason. And I could tell you with my own eyes, I saw a tremendous progression from, say, July 29th until August 25th, and that was the last day that we were able to watch a full Colts practice at training camp. And basically, Eason got the reps 80-85% of the time with the ones. So there's something there. He looks the part. He's got the major league arm, so to speak. Again, I saw him develop during training camp. Is he as good as Carson Wentz? Absolutely not. Do I think Frank Reich can put a game plan together if it's Eason on Sunday that gives this team a chance? Yes, I do. But again, it goes back to the offensive line's got to play better. The running game has to be better because, again, those are the tenets this team is built on regardless of whom the quarterback is.
Greg, it just doesn't look like, and I know they brought him back, T.Y. Hilton, and he's meant a lot to the franchise in his career, but it just doesn't look like there's much left in the tank. What do they think they have? How much use do they think they can get out of T.Y. Hilton moving forward for the rest of the season? Are they still confident that he's still got production left in him?
They are. Now, again, he is not the dominant force he was 4 or 5 years ago, which is also why it is not as crippling of a blow that he is currently on the IR. So Titans fans, you will not see him on Sunday. You know, this is this is the third week that he has been out. He suffered a back injury, and I referenced that final training camp practice on August 25th. It happened during that practice, just going up for a 50-yard ball that Wentz had thrown towards the end zone of the indoor facility at Grand Park, landed awkwardly on his back. He wasn't going to play the final preseason game anyway, and the Colts later that week said, hey, there's something here, and he's going to be on the IR. There have been so many more pressing concerns in terms of injuries, be it to could Eric Fisher play in week one? He didn't. He played in week number two. You know, Braden Smith getting hurt, Darius Leonard dealing with an ankle injury, Quentin Nelson dealing with a bit of a back problem, that frankly we have kind of put T.Y. Hilton's injury concern to the side. My guess is that's going to be discussed and brought up a bit more this week in case he can give it a go next week in Miami. So to answer your question, T.Y. is no longer the guy of 5 years ago. This team is still better offensively when he's on the field, but he is now more of a role player, an important role player, but he's just a piece of this offense, not necessarily the piece of this offense.
We're talking to Greg Rakestraw from the Colts Radio Network. Greg, you can still tell when we ask about T.Y. Hilton, we do have this image of him haunting the Titans year after year. So you're always wondering, about T.Y. But I want to get back to something you brought up at the start, because we know here the Titans are dealing with a lot of offensive line issues, but the Colts, boy, you talk about a tough draw. The defensive fronts that they've played, coupled right. with the offensive line issues that they're dealing with, try to spell it out for us as best you can, what they've got there.
Well, first of all, the healthy one is Mark Glowinski. Okay, that's moving on from the healthy
And that's
guy.
It. Now, okay, there's one guy. All right, you got one.
There's that guy, and he's probably the fifth most talented offensive lineman, no offense to Mark, but he'd be the first to tell you that in comparison to his first teammate. So let's start with the good news from a Colts perspective. They signed Eric Fisher after the draft, late April, early May. Obviously, former number one pick, longtime left tackle, the Kansas City Chiefs. He played basically, I think, 49 of the 59 snaps on Sunday, and I thought played very well. He had the Achilles injury late in the playoffs for the Chiefs last year, I think in the AFC Championship game, to be precise. I think when the Colts signed him, I think the hope was he'd be playing by the first week in October. The fact that he made it for week two is very much a bonus. So that helps the situation. Quentin Nelson has been limited in practice due to a back injury as of late. That doesn't even count having foot surgery literally the day after Carson Wentz had his, the first week of training camp. Remarkably, they suffered the same injury and had a process to basically remove a bone fragment from their feet on back-to-back days. And really in non-contact scenarios for either guy, which is crazy. Quentin has healed from the foot injury, dealing with a bit of a back issue. He's been very limited in practice, but he gave it a go last week and played at his typical all-pro level. Ryan Kelly has dealt with an arm injury. That happened the first week of training camp. He has been playing. He has not been playing as effectively. The biggest issue right now for the Colts has been right tackle. Braden Smith was one of the best right tackles in the NFL last season. He played terribly by his standards in week number one against Seattle. It was then revealed the next day he too was dealing with a foot injury. We're still kind of unsure as to the exact nature of it. And again, we will likely get an update from Frank Reich today as to what Braden's status is going to be for the upcoming game on Sunday. But his absence, his not being 100%, and then his absence in general has been very noticeable for this football team in terms of both pressure allowed and their inability to run the football. Last week, the average yards per carry about 4.2. The week before, it was kind of high threes. But the most damning stat for the Colts right now has been the fact they have given up six sacks, three in each game, and Carson Wentz has been hit 21 times, which was the exact thing that wasn't supposed to happen. That was supposed to change when he came from Philadelphia to Indianapolis. Unfortunately, it's not been, because the offensive line played through injuries or simply not being good enough has let him down to this point.
Greg, you just did a tremendous job of laying all that out. And as you said, the Colts have a heavy investment in the offensive line, so there's a high expectation. But I still look at that and I say, well, they played the Rams and, of course, the Seahawks, who the Titans just saw, two really tough defensive fronts, and you could argue that they should have won the game on Sunday despite all of that and who they were up against. So was it the front of the Rams, or was it, you know, the Colts and these injuries that you're laying out? Because I'm expecting a much better Colts team this weekend.
The answer is that graph where the circle overlaps. The answer is both.
Okay.
It's both of those things. But at the same time, let's face it, the bar is set very high for this team, just like it is for the Titans. You know, when you say, hey, they got beat by a good football team, that's a fair statement, but the expectation is the Colts are a good football team too. And the same thing happens when you go face the Titans in week number three, and it is that gauntlet of a schedule that the Colts face off the top. Now, clearly, Miami has not been kind of up to that in how they played in week number two, so I'm not sure I'm putting Miami in the same classification or strata as home to the Seahawks, home to the Rams, at the Tennessee Titans, then you get the Dolphins, and then guess what? You go play the Baltimore Ravens in their place on Monday Night Football. I mean, it is absolutely brutal, the schedule the Colts have. But at the same time, this is the neighborhood the Colts are expected, and frankly, they themselves expect to be in. So we're having a, much like you guys in Nashville, It's a different conversation because the Titans found a way to win that game in Seattle, and they got through playing two good football teams 1-1. That's a whole different conversation than coming in this week 0-2. And even though you played two good football teams, you lost to both of them at home.
We're talking to Greg Rakestraw of the Colts Radio Network as the Colts get ready to come to Nashville this Sunday to take on the Titans. I know that no coach is going to use this as an excuse, and the players won't use this as an excuse, but I look at Frank Reich's career, and these guys will know. I'm a big fan of Frank Reich. I think that was a great hire by Indy. I think he's a really good coach. But the things that he's been faced with at the quarterback position, whether it's Luck retiring, and then you get Phillip Rivers, he retires after a year. Wentz hasn't been healthy really since he got there. I mean, but he finds a way to, I guess, counteract all that the best that he can. What does it say about the job that Reich has done in his tenure there?
That is the overarching thing that again, you have to acknowledge, but this group, I think, is past the point kind of excuses. And again, I'm not saying they're an abject failure. No, they've made the playoffs two of the last 3 years. There's something to that. They were an 11-win football team with bringing in a brand-new quarterback with no preseason last year. That is an accomplishment. And it's why, again, the bar is set so high for this group. But, yes, Frank Reich and Chris Ballard have been, you know, pushing the rock uphill for the last, you know, 2 to 3 seasons from August of 19 when Andrew Luck says no moss and says, hey, I can't put myself through another rehab process. I can't put myself through dealing with more injuries. I'm done. And now it's this cascading effect of, again, the year of Jacoby Brissett, then a year of Phillip Rivers, and now the infancy of Carson Wentz. So no, Frank and Chris have not caught a break in terms of the quarterback position. And you can say that what the Colts have accomplished despite all that is very impressive. And that is an absolutely true statement.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Another thing that I like that Chris Ballard did was drafting Jonathan Taylor. And I see the talent there. I know it's been kind of mediocre the first couple games, but they've had to throw the ball a lot more. What have you seen in his young career?
You know, he had stretches like this last year too. And being up in the press box, and I know if memory serves me right, at Nissan Stadium, having been there many moons ago, you guys get great seats in terms of the press area and being somewhat low to the ground. I'm like halfway to the moon up in Lucas Oil, so I get the 30,000 foot view literally in terms of watching the game. What that does do is give you a great kind of look at, hey, is he picking the right hole? Is he making the right read? And I thought at times last year Jonathan was having an issue, you know, reading the block and figuring out which way to go. That kind of happened in the middle of last year, and I'm seeing a little bit of that through the first 2 weeks of this season. He figured it out, and the stretch that he was on the last 4 or 5 games was otherworldly. You know, he set a franchise record for, you know, rushing yards in a game, 253. I forgot how many King Henry had that day. It was something gargantuan as well, if I remember right. But JT had a great day of his own in week 17 against the Jaguars. So he finished third in the NFL in rushing yards last year. So he is quite the player. He's been good, not great so far this season. But again, I think it's a matter of time before he finally breaks loose.
Something that we have talked about ad nauseum here in Nashville is finding a kicker. Now, maybe they have found that with Randy Bullock after last week. We'll see. But we had a lot of conversations about your kicker in Rodrigo Blankenship, an undrafted guy out of Georgia, but somebody that we saw quite a bit being in the SEC, and it seems like you got a solid kicker there, kicking 87% of his kicks. How much of an emphasis do you feel like Chris Ballard really put it on that position after an organization that, you know, you had Vinatieri for so long, Vanderjack in the early days too was pretty good for a while. They were like the Titans. They had that position figured out, and it seems like they still have it figured out, and the Titans just can't figure it out.
Yeah, Rodrigo has been a find. And again, this was not an investment of a draft pick. This was an undrafted free agent. And the Colts had a streak of having an undrafted free agent rookie make the roster for 22 years in a row until this year. And again, that's part of because of the depth that Chris Ballard had built going into this season. But no, Hot Rod has quickly become a very popular figure in Indianapolis. We love our kickers in Indy for some reason. Adam Vinatieri, Pat McAfee, and Rodrigo maybe has a different personality than those two guys, but it's his own unique personality. The specs, he talks about the amount of time he spends playing with Legos. He's like a handsome brother that's a kicker. He's a unique cat, but we like that here in Indianapolis. So, no, he has been very solid, and let's face it, even for as solid as he was last year, off the top, man, I want to say 23 of 28 were his numbers in year number one. They brought in Eddie Pinheiro, and frankly, neither one of those two dudes missed in the preseason. Not just games, but an actual, the kind of the kicking camp competition. So the tie went to the incumbent in terms of Blankenship, and so far so good for Hot Rod.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Greg, appreciate the time today. They're always fun. We'll see how it shakes out, but the matchups are always fun, and we're looking forward to it on Sunday.
Sounds good. Thanks for the time, fellas. And by the way, on behalf of the IndyCar folks, we hope you guys enjoyed the Grand Prix back in August. Hope you guys, the crowd was fantastic in downtown Down Under Stadium, and hope you guys enjoyed the taste of IndyCar racing in downtown Nashville.
It was an absolute blast. We had so much fun. We did shows from there, and obviously know Joseph Newgarden quite well, so it was cool to see.
Yeah, as you guys know, Joseph is an absolute star, but there are so many good dudes in that paddock that get the fact of, hey, I need to be a marketable personality, which means I need to be very giving of my time with the media to help sell the sport. Glad to hear you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg, take care.
You got it, guys. You too.
Greg Rakestraw, Colts Radio Network, joining us here on the show, Titans and Colts this weekend. We'll have more on that. Mike Vrabel going to address the media at 11 o'clock, so you will hear that here. But first, Darren, you're going to tell us about DraftKings.
I am, Chase. Thank you, DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. And right now, DraftKings is kicking off yet again another week of action by giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. So listen to this. All you have to do is just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly, no matter what. This football season, all customers can also swing big with the DraftKings same-game parlays. Yes, same-game parlays allow you to combine multiple bets for a bigger payout. This week, place a same-game parlay on any NFL game, and you will be credited up to $25 if your bet loses. All you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Right now, use that code 1025GAME, and you'll receive $150 in free bets instantly when you place a $1 bet on any football game. Once again, you must use that code 1025GAME this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.